This is episode 155 with the Lauren Donahue. You're tuned into Forever Athlete Radio, where together we go far. I'm your host, Corey Camp, former Division I swimmer, Forever Athlete founder, and your personal flow coach, helping you optimize your life one conversation at a time. I promise you, this conversation is going to be one of those today. I know I say that every time, but I truly mean it. Let's go around. Remember, you can text or call in to the show at 301-747-0718. And today, I'm joined by my dear friend, Lauren, who is an expert in health, wellness, mind-body connection. And at this point, by the time this airs, she's going to be a frequent flyer of the show because she's joined us on the Trail Talks and all these other episodes. But Lauren, for context, has been the creator of Unplugged Mornings. Can't even speak right now. I apologize. She created Unplugged Mornings. A 9-step process to really help individuals disconnect, to reconnect back to their true self, which, you know, if you're in that dopamine detox challenge right now, it's exactly what we're trying to do as well. In connection to that effort, Lauren has just maximized her life. She's hiked Mount Kilimanjaro, spent almost 60 days living in a cave. Can you believe it was 90? You could have probably gone for 30 days more, I promise. And she's competed in a whole bunch of competition reality TV shows. She's an athlete at heart. She's a serial entrepreneur now. She's just launched her new brand, Molly Coffee, who is really honoring her grandfather with that. All the proceeds are donated, not all the proceeds, but a portion of the proceeds donated to the Parkinson's Foundation. Lauren, I'm going to shut up now because that was a very long, lengthy intro, but I appreciate you taking the time today. How the heck are you?
I love the frequent, you said frequent flyer of the show. So funny. Yeah. I'm doing well, as good as I can. As you know, I lost my grandfather this week. So it's kind of been up and down roller coaster, but it's conversations like this that bring me joy and reignite that fire. So thank you for having me today.
Yeah, of course. Of course. I know what you're going through. And do you want to start with really just how you got into athletics in the first place? Because I've been blown away just getting to know you the past few months. And every time you're just like, oh yeah, like I competed in this, like I did that. I'm just like, what hasn't this girl done? So where did it start for you?
Well, as I just mentioned, my grandfather, it definitely started with him. He had a basketball in my hand as soon as I could walk. He had put 3 different basketball goal sizes out in the backyard at his place. He had a pole vault hole dug there. He had softball. He had an entire field set up for softball. So I grew up in Kansas, and honestly, there isn't much else to do in Kansas besides play sports. So that, growing up in Kansas and then having a grandfather who just wanted to see me win. And the cool thing is, it was all about play. We didn't have all these devices and things like that. We were out in the yard as long as we could be before we got called in for dinner. And I think I attribute all of that to him. I don't know if I would have had the love for sport that I do if I didn't grow up with my grandparents and have him as a coach. And I also definitely wouldn't have been as good as I was at the sports that I played if he wasn't out there playing with me every day. I remember I just told a friend when we were hiking the other day, he would make me make 100 free throws before I could come back inside. And I look back at that now and it's so cool because at the time I would be annoyed. I didn't want to make 100 free throws. You know, I wanted to go in and eat. But I look at all the championships we won. And the coach always wanted the ball in my hand at the end of the game if we were down by 1 or 2, and he wanted me to drive in and get fouled and go to the free throw line because he knew he could count on me to make this free throw. So it's all of it goes back to my grandfather, and anything we probably talk about on this podcast, any wisdom that comes out of my mouth is definitely from my grandfather. So that is the long-winded answer, my grandpa.
I love that. You're just a vessel for the knowledge that is flowing through you. You know what I mean?
That's right.
I love the 100 free throws too. It's repetition is really what it's all about. Take me through that journey when you left sport, quote unquote. I don't think you've ever left it. You still find some ways to compete and, you know, scratch that itch when you have it. But what was that transition out of like formal organized sports like for you in your experience?
Yeah, it was actually really rough. I didn't know at the time that I was losing my identity. It just was happening. So I can look back on it now and realize that's what happened. But like I said, from probably 2 years old, all the way up through college basketball, I was playing sports, not just one, but I was playing multiple sports for that entire time. And I was typically the team captain. And so team is the only thing I knew. And so coming out of that, I also, right when I got done with college and playing basketball, I moved from Kansas to California. So I moved across the country. I didn't know anyone. And I definitely wasn't playing sports anymore. And so I kind of spiraled out of control, I think, you know, whether that was partying, drinking, getting in the wrong circles, kind of just reaching for anything outside of myself that I thought would bring some sort of comfort or pleasure or happiness, right? And I was about to move back to Kansas in about a month. And one of my friends, a guy friend, asked if I wanted to play on his football team. And I was like, heck yeah, I do. And I had no idea that I was committing to playing on a football team that was 0-70. They had never won a game. And me being the competitive person that I was like, yo, this is not okay. And we actually won that first game that I played in. And of course that just juiced me up. And I was like, yeah, like I'm going to come back and play next week. So I kept playing on that team. And then I started getting recruited by other teams. So I thought, I can't move back to Kansas. I got to play on these teams. And I didn't want to ever miss a game. And so that was kind of a catalyst in like keeping me in California. And I remember the guy that invited me, and I always like talk about him. But then I joined about four different softball teams and a volleyball team. And so I was playing again, you know, Monday through Sunday on these teams. So I realized then that's what I was missing, was that whole team aspect. And I love working with people and connecting people and all of that. So it was cool to be able to bring that full circle back. And it doesn't just have to be sport, right? It could be your team that you work with and things like that. So I think just the most important part of that is having your home team.
I love that story of you like being this close to leaving, like all of this. Like you gave LA a shot, you gave it a try, and it was like, you know, it might not be for me. And now here we are, how many years later? Like 12 plus years later, you're still LA. You're still rocking it.
Baby.
Do you think any of that had to do, at least how you were feeling at your first part here, your first bit of time before you found all the sports, where you were looking for, I like to call them life teammates. Like when you were looking for life teammates, you said, you kind of alluded to it, not maybe making the best choices. Is that you were looking for life teammates and not less fulfilling? I won't even say non-fulfilling, because people get something out of those activities as well. But to you, was it a less fulfilling experience than what you ended up finding ultimately?
Yeah, I think the best way to describe that is I didn't know it, but I had lost my identity. So when you don't know who you are and why you're here and what your purpose is and your mission is, then you grab on and latch on to anything and everyone around you. And so, yeah, I was going out and partying and doing these things that I wouldn't normally, me wouldn't want to do, but I didn't know what else to do. And I wanted to meet people and connect with people. And so I was definitely reaching in all the wrong places, but that just had to do with not knowing who I was. So once I found sport again, and I realized that that's part of my identity is team, sport, being there for people, serving, that kind of stuff. Then I kind of went back the other direction and thought, how can I do that now, right? Life after sport, because before I thought, really, I hadn't even heard of kind of like co-ed sports, adult sports, like after sport, right? Because I only was in the competitive, like college, high school, that stuff. So I never really thought about it and that I could recreate that. And I did have to do some mindset work around this, because I had to realize that at this point it was more for fun than being competitive. And people get really mad at me because I took it so seriously, like co-ed sports. Like I would literally like break up with a boyfriend over like the lineup or something. And so I was like, okay, I've got to like realize this is for fun now. I'm not getting paid for this. So yeah, I had to kind of like transfer that energy a little bit.
I love it. It's, it is challenging though to find that switch, right? Where I think when I look at my journey, and that's the one I can speak to the best, right? Is when I first got out, it was same thing. Like I needed to be all in or it was all out. And if I was all in, if I was putting my time and name on something, you best believe I'm coming all effort here. What'd you do to try to work through that? I'm curious as to what worked for you. How have you been able to keep that competitive edge, but like also still keep your friends in the process?
You know, it's actually really funny. When you were saying that, I thought, gosh, I took it so serious. People called me Gloves because I was dating this guy that played in the NFL. So I made him get me gloves from the NFL. And I'm like, okay, those are the ones I'm wearing. And people are like, you're so insane. No one wears gloves for like two-hand touch football. But I did. So it was a reality check at first of what's real, what's not real, what's okay, what's not okay. But even funnier is someone from my softball team anonymously submitted me to that show where I ended up living in a cave for 60 days. And to this day, the person will not say who it was because of the experience and how like emaciated I was and how much weight I lost and just the whole thing in general. So I don't know who it was, but that experience kind of being stripped of everything I knew and every worldly possession. I didn't have even a shred of clothing on my body that I owned. And so it was that experience in the cave where I realized that we don't actually own anything in this life. It's all borrowed. It's all on loan. Our friends, our family, our things, our apartment, our car can be taken away in the blink of an eye. I also was very like OCD before. And I think that came from sports too. Like, I kind of don't know for sure the difference between like OCD and what is it where you have to wear the same socks every time? It's like a word for it. It starts with an S, I think. Superstitious. Yeah, exactly. So superstitious versus OCD. But I was to the extreme on that too, I think, because of sports. And so being in this cave, I was like, well, I've never had to organize the woods before. And I couldn't really be that OCD in there. And so I feel like coming out of that, I just learned like what life was actually about. And it was about connection, human connection, relationships, being grateful for what you do have. Cause I think a lot of times we're like, oh, I want more. And I forget to be grateful for what I have here. And I realized life should be more fun and it doesn't have to be so serious. And, this softball league that I went to after ended up someone from there putting me in this cave that changed my whole life. So that was really it. And I obviously can't tell people to go like live in a cave for 60 days, but you can, you know, do things that you're where you're more unplugged more often. So you can actually meet yourself and who you really are.
Mm. And that was going to be my question was like, that's awesome that you had that revelation and that experience in 60 days in a cave. Most people hear that and they're like, well, I don't have 60 days and I have no desire to go live in a cave. Mm-hmm. What would your piece of advice be to someone who's like, I'm intrigued by what you learned from there and I want to dabble in it, but I don't think I'm ready to just like sell it all and experience.
Yeah. I realized that after that, I thought I needed something even more extreme after that experience to give me another breakthrough to get to another level. And so that's why I ended up hiking Kilimanjaro and we didn't have our phones. And so we were unplugged again for over a month really, and went and did this huge hike. And I mean, again, learned so many life lessons. And after that, I was like, okay, these things are so extreme. What can people do every single day to get them in the same state? And that's when I came up with Unplugged, which is the 9-step practice for you to disconnect, to reconnect back to your true self. And so I'm like, every morning, if you can, before you reach for the device, right? Like ditch the device, ditch the phone, because here's the thing. You can't unsee it or unhear it. If you reach for your phone and you listen to the voice memo or you look at the email, it's in your head. Even if you try to go into meditation after that, what's the thing you're thinking about? The email, the text message, you didn't get back to someone, you forgot to do something for work, whatever. And it's hard to drop into that super meditative state when you've already done that. Like think about, after you've been sleeping for 8 hours. You're in this prime state for silence, for meditation, for you to set yourself up for success. So the thing is, every morning, whether you have 5 minutes or an hour, I think you can work yourself up to an hour, but start with 5 minutes for something that's super attainable. And drop in. The steps are connecting, breath work, being in silence, meditating, praying, whatever works, right? Nourishing your body. So having water next to your bed, because we were dehydrated after 8 hours of sleep. So just rehydrating, nourishing the body, ways that you can integrate play, learning. So reading, taking time to read each day, taking time to let go of something, forgive someone or something or yourself, and then exercise, movement, right? Movement is medicine. So whatever that is for you, Pilates, HIIT workouts, going for a hike, something cool, but just move your body and then declare what you want. So that was all the steps like kind of condensed, but the whole point is plug into you, fill your cup up first, and then serve others from that overflow.
I love that you chose Pilates as the first movement that came to mind as you were saying movement is medicine.
I've done Pilates like twice in my life. Well, I have no idea. Maybe I need to go to Pilates.
It's a sign. It's a sign. You got to do more Pilates. I love how you said too, whether it's 5 minutes or an hour, like the intention is there and you're so right that you can't unsee it. Like the amount of times that I like tried to fake myself out and like hit snooze or not hit snooze. Cause you know, who does that? End the alarm on the phone. And then as soon as you end the alarm, you see like the text messages that came in or the notifications that came in overnight. And then even then just like locking the phone up again, you've already seen it. You already know like, oh shoot, my mom texted me. Like what does she want? What's going on? Yep. And you start to spiral and think of all of these other things. That's awesome. Did you have any like FOMO around whether when you were in the cave or Kilimanjaro, or was it just you were so focused on forced to be focused on what was in front of you that there was no thoughts of this is going on in the world at the same time?
What's so interesting is you were actually in the cave, you were actually surviving. And so my mind was on surviving. Like, when are we going to get to eat again? I'm so cold. Like, how can I get warm? I have the like bug bites all over, but I there's no medication or I can't put anything on them. So you're like thinking about them all the time. So you're very, in a way, like distracted from reality or any world outside of this world. Like this was it. And I think that's, it was so cool is it was, you were able to peel back the layers and almost even collapse time. So time didn't exist. We didn't know what day it was and we didn't know how many days we had been in there because there was no way to track that. So you never knew what time of day, you just knew it got light and then it got dark. And we usually would wake up when it got light and go to sleep when it got dark. And so I feel like I don't think we had FOMO. It was like the world outside, imagine, was going so fast, right? Everything's happening. People are still doing the thing. In there, it stood still. It basically felt like the same day we went in is the same day we came out, but like 2.5 months had went by. So I didn't ever have FOMO. I was also with really amazing people in there, which is the reason I say one of the life lessons was about human connection and how important it was of like, we were helping each other survive. Like we were helping each other get food, go to the restroom, like all these things that you would never even think. It's so bizarre, but we were doing that. And so I was just very, very connected to the people I was in there with.
I was saying, I think I need to go back and watch the show, you know, at this point.
I'll watch it with you. I've actually never watched the whole show. I've only watched 6 out of the 12 episodes.
There we go.
So I need to watch it too.
There we go. Maybe it's the same as like when I watch back or listen back to my own podcast. I'm like, this is weird. I wonder if you'll get that watching back the TV show. It's reliving that moment almost. Let's talk about your entrepreneurial journey because you've done a lot of cool stuff and you have experience and I won't even say dabbled, but you've gone all in on fitness and all in on a couple different companies from the F45 experience to a coffee company. I think people listening in might be like, that how are those connected at all? What was your first kind of inclination that this entrepreneurial life was going to be the life for you and you were going to go for it?
I love that question. I wanted to be an entrepreneur before I could spell entrepreneur, and I'm not actually sure I could even spell it right now. But when people were like, I want to be an astronaut and a lawyer and a doctor, I was like, I want to be an entrepreneur. So I knew from a really early age that I didn't necessarily want to work for people. And I got reaffirmed and confirmed every single time I would work for people that I did not want to work for people. And I'm glad I did, because that taught me a lot. Again, I grew up playing sports, so I always had a coach telling me what to do. And I very much liked that at the time. And maybe it was just I liked it in sport, and because I was really excited about it. And I think that's something too for the listeners. Maybe when you're doing something you really like, you don't mind someone telling you what to do, and especially when you're in that phase of wanting to learn. But I think you get to a certain point, and that's why athletes turn into coaches, right? You get to a certain point where it's like role reversal, and now you're the one coaching the person, and that's more fun for you than being, you know, coached. So I think in life and business too, I was always very creative and coming up with ideas. I'm definitely a visionary and not an integrator. I need integrators in my life to make things happen. Otherwise, I just come up with a lot of awesome ideas. But I knew coming out of college too, that's what I wanted to do. And I just didn't ever know exactly how to start a business. And so I started by getting my personal training certification, group certification, spinning certification, and started doing that. So I was doing one-on-one, group, boot camp, all that fun stuff. And then that led me into owning a couple of the F45 franchises, one in Venice Beach and one in Pacific Palisades. I also helped F45 with their launches in the US, which was super fun, and got to connect with lots of athletes during that process. And then after that, because I had business partners, I realized I really wanted to do something on my own, like fully on my own, because I really like to bring in charity to what I do. And sometimes that's not the case with business partners. And so you live and you learn. And when there's an expiration date, you move on. Otherwise, it gets sour. So after that, I decided to do my own thing. And I started hosting workshops, retreats. And after I did several retreats, people wanted to pick my brain about hosting retreats. And so I started retreat coaching. And I was kind of the first, and I don't even know if there are any other retreat coaches out there, but I did that for about a year before the pandemic. And so when that all happened and all of the retreats got canceled and live events and things, started doing virtual events and then coaching people on doing virtual events. And then in March of this last year, my Instagram account got hacked. And so I felt like the business I'd been building for 10 years, because I do brand partnerships and deals, but I also promote all of my events through there. So kind of overnight, my whole business was gone and I was thinking about what I was going to do next. And that's when I went to do my unplugged morning, and I was sitting there in silence and I meditated and I prayed and I was drinking my coffee, and I heard a little whisper in the back my head, ear, and it was my grandpa's voice, circle back to Gramps, always showing up. And he would always say, the cream will always rise to the top. And right when I heard that, I thought, coffee, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to create a coffee company that's more than a coffee company, that's a brand that helps connect people through conversation and through events and all that kind of stuff. So that's how we got to where we are now with Lolly Coffee.
I love the story of how the coffee came about. And for context, for those not familiar with like how fast the coffee company was, like start to finish, in the sense of like idea into we have a product that we are pushing out and is available for purchase, was like hyper speed, right? I was going to say, can you allude, walk us through a little bit of like behind the scenes, what needs to happen before you're selling the Raleigh roast, the first bag of coffee? Because I know for me, I was like, oh, cool, she's starting a coffee company. Does that mean she just like buys some beans and like slaps her logo on it and then it's like good to go? What does that process look like? Because I was amazed by how much in detail it went.
Yeah. Yeah. So the cool thing is, it was March 31st when the Instagram got hacked. So it was April 1st, which is like, what a joke, right? When I decided I was going to do a coffee company. And so I just started reaching out. I took action, which, again, for everyone listening, massive action, messy massive action is the way to go. If I didn't start calling everyone I knew that knew anything about coffee and start getting like meetings set up and all that kind of stuff, we wouldn't be talking about this right now. So I just went into massive action, got on as many phone calls as possible, started learning about coffee because I knew that I wanted to create a coffee that would make you feel good so you would do more good in the world. I wanted it to be tested for molds, pesticides, all the things that give you those effects, you know, afterwards that you don't want, like headache, stomach ache, need a nap, all of that. And so I needed to talk to as many people as possible, talk to farmers, different places to source from, how they clean and process and wash. Then I needed to talk to roasters, and I needed to connect with a roaster that I felt like I would be able to talk to at all times and run ideas past and all of that kind of stuff, someone you can trust. And I listened to a bunch of podcasts and different stuff on starting coffee companies, and pretty much everyone across the board said it would be a year from the idea to bag in hand. And for me, it was about 3 months from idea to bag in hand. And I think that's just because of the action I was taking. And then it was about 4 months before we had the product ready to go and was live for purchase. And that's the only reason it was 4 months is because we had four different names that we went through that we tried to trademark. So we couldn't really push it out when we didn't know for sure if we were going to be able to get the name. So we were at a standstill for a while. And that's something too, I highly encourage you to like really do your research and get a trademark attorney, make sure they do an extensive search so that you'll be able to use that name before you print a bunch of labels and bags and do your website. I redid the website 4 times. And so I made the mistake so that other people don't have to. And I shared all about the journey too, from start to finish. I have like highlights on it on my Instagram account so people can, you know, follow along. And hopefully if they want to do something similar, it will encourage them and also educate them at the same time. So yeah, it was a long process through all that. And Corey was one of my first blind, literally blind. I had him put his mask on his eyes, blind taste tester. And I realized that like, you don't actually need to be blind when you're drinking hot coffee.
Yeah, we live and learn.
But hey, that was so appreciative that you were.
Oh,
and you were on a coffee break. So like you got pretty jazzed up.
Yeah, I was going through, I think I was a month or maybe even longer between like caffeine at that time. And I think you were the first cup of coffee that I had in about however long it was. And I just remember being like, oh my gosh, like this is what the body's reaction to caffeine is supposed to be like after one cup of coffee. Like I don't need four, like so many of us out there, unfortunately, become dependent on, you know what I mean? The thing that sticks out to me that I want to highlight in that just journey of those 4 months, I know you said you redid the website 4 times and all of this, and you said to be a little bit more careful with getting the trademark attorney and doing an extensive search and all of that. I think you towed the line almost perfectly though, in the sense of most people hear that they need the trademark and everything and like perfectly lined up, and they see that as way too much work and it keeps them in inaction to start. Whereas I think you were in a lot of ways flying by the seat of your pants, just like figuring it out as you go. And I mean that in the best way possible. You were staying in motion. You weren't gonna just sit in this funk of, well, my main revenue source, my main marketing tool for everything is gone. I'm helpless. I'm hopeless. It was like, no, how can I look for a light, a hope? Mm-hmm. And at least if I'm not going to be able to pay rent, like it's going to be because I tried to, you know, try something else or learn. It wasn't like you were just going to lock yourself in the room for the next 30 days until Instagram came back on.
Yeah, I mean, that was the huge thing. It was literally the next day where I was thinking, if this got taken away, what's next? And that's why I went to the drawing board, because I thought, okay, let me write out a bunch of things. What do I like to do? What brings me joy? Like, what could I see myself doing every single day? What's authentic to me? And then I was like, what do I drink every single morning? Like, this is part of my morning routine. So I could authentically speak about it every single day. And it's something that I run out of and need more of, right? So when you're thinking about doing a product, you want people to be consuming it. A lot of times, like if you get vitamins, they sit in there for so long and they don't go. You got to create a habit around the vitamins, like create some kind of fun little thing where people are like, take the vitamin and then do this next, right? So creating habits around things, and people, most people that drink coffee already have a habit around it. So I think that that's also important to note. But yeah, that whole journey, I'm glad it exactly the way that it did. And I had those like road bumps along the way so I could learn and help other people through the process. And the whole trademark thing too, for me, it's preventative. So a lot of times, like if you think about your health, if we work out and eat healthy, maybe that's more expensive, like the gym membership and the organic food and stuff like that. And we think it's more expensive, but what's actually more expensive is when you get sick and you have disease and things like that. I say dis-ease, but also disease. Later you spend lots of money on medical bills and things like that. And so looking at it that way with this, yes, up front, it's more money to get a trademark attorney and to pay the trademark fees and all that kind of stuff. And people try to bypass that and start their businesses. And then what happens is your business takes off, you make $500,000 and you're infringing on someone's trademark. And now you owe that whole $500,000 to whoever has the trademark. So it's just preventative stuff that, yeah, up front, it seems like a little bit more, but it's so worth it to just make sure you're doing everything legally and really owning your brand. Because otherwise you don't own your brand and you're putting something out there for the world and someone else might actually own your brand.
The worst feeling in the world when you think it's yours and then you come to fruition, it's like you were raising someone else's child this whole time. Like, that's, they get all the proceeds. Something came to mind there too. It's like,
and I didn't have to do anything but buy the
trademark. I think of the insurance industry. I mean, think of how big of an industry that is, and to that whole point that you just made, that industry exists solely on this concept of it's preventative. You're going to pay a little bit, or sometimes a lot of bit up front or monthly, whatever that looks like, depending on your plan, in kind of insurance that down the road, God forbid something happens, you're covered and you're good to go. Yep. I like that way of thinking.
Yeah. And a lot of people go without insurance. It's a gamble, right? I mean, you're rolling the dice because you have no idea. We have no idea what's going to happen. And if you're paying a couple $100 a month, but then you end up having hundreds of thousands of dollars that you owe, that's a big difference. And you would have wished you were paying the couple hundred a month at that point.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, it's so funny that there's definitely been times in my life where I've been looking at it and don't worry, mom and dad, we got all the insurances, they're there. But you look at it and you're like, man, if I'm trying to cut costs, like, if only I didn't have car insurance, health insurance, dental, vision, especially as an entrepreneur, right? Because when you don't have a company paying for that stuff for you and it comes out of your pocket instead, it can add up. It's a little bit pricier.
Yep. And hopefully you're making more money than you would be making at that job anyway, so it doesn't matter.
True. 100%. You always have a good perspective shift there. How many months has it been now since Molly Coffee has launched? It's been a few, right?
We launched mid-July. So July, August, September, October, 4 months. So we were like 4 months from idea to launch. And now we are 4 months into the launch, which is so exciting.
What's been, I got two questions around that. What's been the biggest challenge so far in those 8 months? Or I guess you kind of alluded to challenges early on in that first four. What about post-launch? What challenges have you faced, and what's been like the biggest one, the challengingest of challenges?
I would say marketing beyond my network, right? Mm. So I have my network. So we had a really successful launch and lots of people supporting, things like that. And we do have repeat customers, and there's still a few things I need to check off of my list as far as like subscription and things like that to make it easier and more accessible for people. But I would say marketing, and I haven't done like advertisement, like paid advertisements or anything like that. And I'm still trying to decide if I want to go with influencer marketing. So I would say having a little more support around marketing and then figuring out where the marketing dollars should go is probably been the biggest challenge. And just life in general happening, right? During those months, my grandpa got sick. And so he had been sick for a while. And like I said, passed away this last week. And so it was kind of a halt on everything. I didn't know it was going to affect me so much mentally, physically, emotionally, and all of that. So I would say definitely marketing has been a challenge, and yeah, just getting the word out there about it. And now we're in the process of like our next product. So we have three blends. We have the Raleigh Roast, the Bonnie Brew, and the Pink Power. And all of those go to different charities. And we're now going to come out with the Lolly Boxes, which is your morning success kit. So it's like a starter kit. Come, like your morning success comes in a box, and it'll have a journal, a candle, a mug, and the coffee. So we're just figuring out how to make all that happen, where to source from for those products, and get that launched out. So we're just going to keep moving forward with new products and fun stuff. And Lolly Coffee will actually be under the brand Lolly. And Lolly is Lauren and Raleigh, my grandpa's name, put together. So the brand will actually be Lolly, and then we'll just have other products underneath there. So we're kind of in that phase right now too.
I love it. And I love even, because originally it was just Lolly Coffee was going to be the brand, right? And I've talked about on this show in particular, I mean, it's a byproduct of the exact same thing. It started off under one name, and then you realized at some point your vision that you have for it is going to outgrow a name, a label that you originally chose, even though when you originally chose it, like it was perfect. It was going to be the right fit. But just like our clothes, we sometimes outgrow those things. Even the perfect t-shirt, sometimes we just get a little bit bigger and we need to find a new perfect t-shirt. So I love that you're changing things up there too. And going really broad.
I think we're always evolving, growing, expanding.
100%. Walk us through the sourcing back end. Like I know a little bit about it just because having done apparel and everything, but for those listening in that might be thinking, I've always wanted to get into apparel. I've wanted to put together a subscription box, whatever that may be. What kind of roadblocks or things, I wouldn't even say roadblocks, what are you learning in that process as you're diving in and answering these questions of how do I bring this one to market?
It's so much more work than you think. Even when sourcing, you know, coffee beans, right? So from Ecuador, from Ethiopia, wherever you're getting it from, like knowing who the farmers are, knowing what that they're getting paid enough and getting taken care of, knowing that they're testing properly and washing properly, and that by the time it gets the pallets get to the roaster, that like everything's going right there. So there's just lots of steps in that. And then when it comes to the boxes, okay, it's like, all right, well, what size of box and how much is it going to be to ship? And are we double shipping? Like, am I going to have a drop shipper? Am I doing this all from my apartment? Am I having, products sent from overseas? Everything's backed up right now with the pandemic. Things are 3 to 6 months out. So where else could I source from? I also live in Los Angeles. So there's downtown LA where you can get a lot of products and things like that. You can get things made down there. So really finding, okay, what kind of quality, what do I want in there? And then what do I want to put on the mugs and on the candles? What's the messaging? What do I want people to feel when they open the box, right? This is a Lolly box, like a lollipop. When you're a kid, lollipops are so exciting. You go to the bank and you get a lollipop. And it's like, it makes you feel warm and fuzzy and it's fun. I want people to feel that too when they open their lolly box. I want them to feel warm and fuzzy, that this is fun, this is exciting, and that it's about them. The word lolly actually means money or abundance in British and Australian slang. And li means open and expansive. So I want people to feel abundant, open, expansive. And so by pouring into yourself, literally pouring like your coffee, right? Pouring into yourself first thing in the morning, taking that time in silence, taking that time to self-reflect and set yourself up for the day, what you even want to do. And really this is all coming back to intention mm-hmm. on how you want to show up and the people you want in your life, things like that. So that's what I want with these boxes. So there's so much that goes into that, right? Like products are all going to be sourced from different places, likely all sent to me and then put together by me in the boxes. But it's like, what kind of stickers do you want? What kind of wrapping stuff do you want? Oh, there's so much that goes into it to make it happen.
And I feel like so many of those little details can make or break that experience for the consumer on the other end. So it might seem like a lot up front, but definitely it pays off when you're talking about overall customer experience. And that's what I loved about
from the minute of. Yeah, and you experienced.
Go ahead.
I was saying you experienced that with your boxes because you thought they were bigger than they were and they ended up small, which then worked out perfect because you use them for a different purpose. But right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think that's kind of the beauty of the whole entrepreneurial game, right? Is I ordered those boxes for the Olympic games that I threw back in August. And I thought, okay, I'm going to put all the brand giveaway stuff in a Forever Athlete box and hand this. And for context, I'll have to go find them and post a picture when we post this in the show notes, but I didn't pay attention enough, I guess, in geometry, because they ended up being like 3 inches by 3 inches and 1 inch deep. It was just nothing was fitting in that box of what I thought it would.
A gift card. You're for gift cards. It's just so funny because that is all the kind of stuff. I remember you telling me how much it was to order them. And I thought, dang, he got a good deal when I get boxes.
For context, for everyone listening, it was like $100-something for 50 of these like fully custom boxes. And they were only printed on the outside. Like printing stuff is expensive. Sourcing things can be really expensive. And I guess that's just something you have to look at as an entrepreneur, right? You start to see the cost. You start to see, well, if I order more in bulk, it's going to drive down my cost so that I can offer it to the consumer at a lower price point, hopefully, and build that into your profit margins. But now we're getting into the weeds of all of this. What's the biggest thing you've learned in the 8 months since sitting down March 31st with this idea? What's been the biggest thing?
I think it goes all the way back to that whisper in my ear that the cream will rise to the top, which my grandpa always said. And what he meant by that is never give up. Keep going. Even when it gets hard, especially when it gets hard. So there's been so many challenges and so many things that happened where typically you would quit. You'd be like, all right, this isn't for me. Like, this isn't going to work, all that kind of stuff. But if you keep going and you don't quit, like, I can't wait to see where we are next year in July, like 1 year from the launch, like how many products we have, like how many people we've helped, how many people we've connected with, new people. I mean, here's a cool thing. On Instagram, now I've gotten my Instagram account back, people have started following me because of the coffee company. And that to me is so much more special than like just following me for like pictures or just whatever, right? Mm-hmm. And I've now connected in person with those people. One of them, we randomly met at church and she's like, oh, I just started following you because of your coffee company. I thought, what? And another girl reached out and she lived in Santa Monica and we connected and she now buys the coffee and loves it. So I think that's something that's like really cool too, is like who you meet because of it. Like you launch a product and then you have conversations like this on podcasts and you talk about it. And it's just like this extra thing that like gets you out in the world and gets you more connected. So I'm so excited about that. And I truly cannot wait to see where we're at. And I guess it's less than a year from now, but yeah, I'm so excited.
I can't wait for more flavors to come out so I can you know, start sampling some more coffees and, you know, help out there. It's been a really fun journey to see too. And I bet it feels really good given all your crazy experiences that you've had in all different walks of life, whether it be the adventure bug in you doing the Kilimanjaro, doing all these hikes and traveling. And I mean, you're always one person that's like, yeah, haven't you been there? And I'm like, no, I've never been. Like, I need to get there. But it's got to be cool to see all these people that have followed you because of that stuff that you were doing. And now you've created something truly that is bigger than you. And quite literally, it has a purpose well beyond you. Mm. It's bigger than your name. It's bigger than anything else that you as one individual could ever hope to build. And it's got to be really cool to just have people acknowledge that and choose then to follow. Like, they're going to know you as Lauren, the coffee owner, rather than Lauren, the girl who lived in the cave or whatever TV show that you were on. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and what's cool is all of those were puzzle pieces to this picture, right? If I didn't live in the cave, I wouldn't have started Unplugged. It wouldn't have led to the retreats. It would, all of that stuff then led to, because I wouldn't have been doing Unplugged Morning and having the coffee to even have the coffee idea, had all of those things not happened. And so when you can look back, you can really connect the dots on why everything happened the way it did, why the relationship failed, why you got fired from the job, why you moved across the country, all those things that maybe seem really hard at the time make sense, and they're totally worth it when you get to this moment. And what you said, it's like, I've never been more in alignment with my mission and my assignment here on this earth than I am right now, because this is bigger than me. This is a legacy company. This is something that will go on beyond my time here. And so it's so fun to build. And that's the reason why I'll never give up. I'll just keep trying new things. Mm-hmm. I'm like, if something doesn't work, I'll try something else. And then I'll change the name and we're going to keep moving. So yeah, I just, when you're in alignment, like fully mind, body, soul, mission, purpose, all of that, it's like, yeah, of course this is what I was supposed to do. It all makes sense.
Yeah. I want to highlight, because it's obvious to me, but I don't know if it's there for all the listeners. You said something earlier about your interpretation of your grandfather's quote of the cream always rises to the top and you're going to keep moving. I want to highlight the almost a, I don't want to say oxymoron, but it's funny that that came to the surface as you allowed yourself the space for it to. Like, you weren't physically moving in that moment. And because of that, you were able to mentally get the boost that you want. So the reason I wanted to highlight that is I think a lot of athletes, myself included, I really struggle to just be a lot of times. Like, I feel the need to jam-pack the schedule and go and fill it all in, whereas sometimes the stillness, to your point, the whole concept around Unplugged Mornings has a very, very beneficial meaning as well. It just, don't confuse silence and stillness for like not moving the needle forward. Like, you need that as part of the balance too, I guess, is kind of my interpretation of just how you've told that story and what came up in that time.
Yeah, I love that stillness and quiet time is also a choice and is also a decision, and it's also action. Even though you feel like you're not moving, sitting in silence is taking action. Like, it's, this is intentional. I'm deciding to do this. And it's in those quiet, still moments that all the answers lie, right? Because I believe all the answers that ever were or ever will be are already within you. Everything you're seeking outside of yourself is already within you. But if we don't get quiet and get still, we can't hear it. Like, it's trying to communicate with us. That's our intuition trying to talk to us and communicate. And we're like, no, intuition, stay quiet, stay down. I want to do this other thing. And it will start to try to scream at you and it'll look like different things. But it's like, if you just get quiet and still, sit there, breathe, tap back in, the answers will come up. And it'll be like this light bulb moment. Like, coffee, of course. Why not? Like, yeah, duh. But I wouldn't have heard that if I didn't go into that morning routine for myself. And so your point too on the cream will always rise to the top. I remember my grandpa said that repetition, right? Over and over until I finally was like, what does that mean? Like, I don't really know what that means. And he said, some people will get to the top really quickly and they deserved it. But some people get to the top really quickly because they may have lied, cheated, stolen, stepped on people to get up there. And if that's the case, it's not sustainable long-term. They will not stay there. But if you're patient and kind, a servant leader, you tell the truth, you have integrity, like you're willing to wait and be in the process while you're moving forward, eventually you'll get to the top and you get to stay there. And so that's what's always given me so much hope and encouragement is like, if I don't get the guy that I want or the job that I want or all that kind of stuff, if it doesn't work out the way I want, I am reminded that it's a journey and it may take longer and look way different than it does for other people. But when you get there, it's all worth it. And that's how I felt with the coffee company. Like when we launched Lolly Coffee and even getting to the name of Lolly, I'm like, oh, all of it was so worth it to go through that other stuff because this is the name. Like this is it. This lights me up. It's so exciting. And so, yeah, it's always worth it if you're patient and willing to do the work and just keep showing up.
Amazing. I'm glad that you keep showing up and that you keep doing the work because I indirectly benefit in the sense of I'm fortunate to call you a good friend and be so close to seeing what you're building. And it is just really, really cool. So please don't stop growing and all of that. I want to ask you 5 quick questions, fast 5 here before we wrap things up and people can connect with you and find their Lolly Coffee and start their day with a smile. The first one I got is really, what's your go-to podcast that you are jamming out to lately?
My go-to podcast besides Forever Athlete, because honestly, if you send it to me, I listen to it. You also sent me one from Lewis Howes that was really good. And he was interviewing Erwin McManus, which is one of my pastors. So I liked that. I'm actually listening to a book right now. So I'm not listening to podcasts particularly. I'm listening to The Way of Integrity, Finding Your Way to Your True Self by Martha Beck. So I think that's what I've been listening to recently.
I love that. Number 2 was, what's your favorite book that you've read in the past year? Is it going to be something different than the audiobook?
Yeah, The 4 Agreements is definitely my favorite that I've read in the last year and will be reading it again. I feel like it's the most transformative for me. When I read it, something inside me changes and I behave differently and get a different result.
I love that. Number 3 is, what's something that you can't live without?
What's something I can't live without?
Yeah.
I would say coffee. But I can live. I just don't want to do that now that I have a coffee brand. Something I can't live without. That's a really great question because I lived in a cave. Like, that's the truth. Because we had nothing. We didn't have chapstick when our lips were chapped.
I was about to say, I was really curious to hear your answer to that one because other guests in the past have said coffee like right away or all of these other things, but knowing your past experiences, it's funny how our past experiences influence our answers. Number 4 is, what's a quote that you live by?
That I live by is, you can't say the wrong thing to the right person. So speak your truth.
I like that. I like that a lot. Last one, number 5. What's your one word focus at this point in time?
Intention. Doing things with intention. Everything I do, like every conversation, there's intention behind it. When I show up for my family, the intention to be kind and patient, just setting the intention and the space before I go into it. And space. I wrote yesterday, space was my word, and I spaced it out. So intention and space.
Intentional space. We'll combine the two.
Intentional space.
There we go.
Spirit fingers on that.
I absolutely couldn't agree more with the intentionality piece, because I think that's what a lot of being an athlete is about, is you instilled at a very early age intention. You learned that when you showed up to shoot the free throws, it was going to be 100 of them. It wasn't, you were just going out to like go out and do it.
Yeah.
Like there's an intention behind it. And you knew that, well, 100 might seem like an arbitrary yeah. number, but it played a critical role in really developing you into this crucial clutch player year after year after year as you continue to grow.
Yeah.
Who knew that was going to be the benefit of the intentionality yeah. seed planted so early?
Yeah. And having that goal, right? That goal of 100. And it's, I think about that when my first goal with Lolly Coffee was to sell 100 bags of the Raleigh roast, but I didn't say by when, right? Like grandpa would say 100 free throws before you go inside, right? So very clear. But I said 100 bags of Raleigh roast. That could have taken 10 years. So then I got clear on by in 30 days. And the next day we sold 20 more bags and hit 100. So intention, yes, goal, and by when, be specific.
Oh, 100%. You got to have that piece in there. Well, Lauren, before we plug where people can connect with you, I do want to just acknowledge you for being one of the best people that I have connected with since moving out here. I know we talked very early on about life teammates and finding the right people. I'm just very fortunate that our paths crossed the way they did. And I just appreciate you in my life. Where can those listening in connect with you, keep up with Lolly Coffee, order their Raleigh roast, order some bags? I think we got a little discount code for them as well, right? So where can they find you?
So my personal account is Lauren L. Donahue. I post everything about upcoming retreats, fun stuff, all of that. Lolly Coffee, you can go on there to check out stuff for the coffee company. And also lollycoffee.com is the website where you can grab a bag of coffee. And that's it. That's where you can find us.
Let's go. And I can't remember the discount code off the top of my head. It's terrible, but I believe it is Forever Athlete. So if you want to go snag a bag of coffee, support Lauren's
Forever Athlete
Lolly Coffee, go check it out. First bag, not fully on me, but we'll save you some money. Lauren, again, thank you. And if you're listening again, thank you.
Quite a few on you.
What's up?
I said quite a few cups on you for sure.
There we go. It makes a difference. Well, Lauren, thank you. And if you're listening in, thank you as well for taking the time to tune into Forever Athlete Radio today. I encourage you to share this episode with a friend, family member, teammate, because you know, together we go far. Leave a review on Apple Podcasts, biggest takeaways from today's conversation, and connect with Lauren. She loves to connect. And we're just connectors at heart. So reach out to her. She's here for you. She's in your corner. I will see you all on Monday.